So I spoke, and their high hearts assented. But all that month incessant south winds blew. There came no wind except from east and south. So long as they had bread and ruddy wine, they spared the kine, because they loved their lives. But when the vessel's stores were now all spent, and roaming perforce they sought for game, for fish, for fowl, for what might come to hand, caught by their crooked hooks, and hunger pinched their bellies, then I departed by myself far up the island, to beg the gods to show my homeward way. And when, by a walk across the island, I had escaped my crew, I washed my hands where there was shelter from the breeze, and offered prayer to all the gods that hold Olympus. But they poured down sweet sleep upon my eyelids, while Eurylochus began his evil counsel to my crew. My suffering comrades, hearken to my words. Hateful is every form of death to wretched mortals, and yet to die by hunger, and so to meet one's doom, is the most pitiful of all. Come, then, and let us drive away the best of the sun's kine, and sacrifice them to the immortals who hold the open sky. And if we ever come to Ithaca, our native land, we will at once build a rich temple to the exalted sun, and put therein many fair offerings. If, then, the sun, wroth for his high-horned kine, seeks to destroy our ship, and other gods consent, for my part, I would rather, open-mouthed in the sea, give up my life at once than slowly let it wear away here in this desert island. So spoke Eurylochus. The rest assented. Forthwith, they drove away the best of the sun's kine out of the field close by. For not far from the dark-bowed ship the kine were grazing, crook-horned and beautiful and broad of brow. Round them they stood and prayed the gods, stripping the tender leaves from off a lofty oak, for they had no white barley on the well-benched ship. Then, after prayer, when they had cut the throats and flayed the kine, they cut away the thighs, wrapped them in fat in double layers, and placed raw flesh thereon. They had no wine to pour upon the blazing victims, but using water for libation, they roasted all the entrails. So after the thighs were burned and the inward parts were tasted, they sliced the rest and stuck it upon spits. And now the pleasant sleep fled from my eyelids. I hastened to the swift ship and the shore. But on my way, as I drew near to the curved ship, around me came the savory smell of fat. I groaned and called aloud to the immortal gods, O Father Zeus and all you other blessed gods that live forever, verily to my ruin you laid me in ruthless sleep, while my men left behind plotted a monstrous deed. Soon to the exalted sun came long-robed Lampetia, bearing him word that we had slain his kine, and straightway, with an angry heart, he thus invoked the immortals. O Father Zeus, and all you other blessed gods that live forever, avenge me on the comrades of Laertes' son Odysseus, who insolently slew the kine in which I joy as I go forth into the starry sky, or as again toward earth I turn back from the sky. But if they do not make me fit atonement for the kine, I will go down to Hades and shine among the dead. Then answered him cloud-gathering Zeus, and said, O sun, do you shine on among the immortals, and on the fruitful fields of mortal men? Soon I will smite their swift ship with a gleaming bolt, and cleave it in pieces in the middle of the wine-dark sea. All this I heard from fair-haired Calypso, who said she heard it from the guide-god Hermes.